The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Mr. Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. We keep him there. No, we don't keep him there on purpose. Just the way it's all set up. Tom, how are you? Happy,
like a zoo animal.
Or are we the zoo animals?
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, please do not tap on
the
glass.
Don't tap. Tom is having his lunch. No, he's not.
I will later, though.
I know you will. A happy first day of fall, which is tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
But happy today is International Peace Day, which you probably didn't know.
Well, happy. Is it called the summer equinox?
This would be the fall equinox.
Or fall
equinox.
I guess there is no summer equinox.
No.
I just invented a new day.
That is into the solstice area. Yeah. Anyway, we're ready to go here on the Friday Buckmaster Show. Our media partners, I want to thank them. Dylan Smith over at TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan's been a big supporter for many years. Green Valley News and Sahurita Sun, Dan Shear and his group, Tucson Media Group, and its portfolio, which includes the Tucson Weekly. We'll be hearing from Jim Nintzel during the second half hour of the program. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Sheriff Mark Napier is with us. Sheriff, how are you, sir?
I'm very well. It's good to be back with you, Bill.
Thank you very much. Joining me in our conversation, not interrogation, as I've said. Sometimes,
especially not today.
No, not today. Not going to interrogate the sheriff. But Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah has several roles at Arizona's largest newspaper, Southern Arizona's largest newspaper, the Arizona Daily Star. She is the editorial page editor, which is a big role in itself, but she also manages out of her busy day to carve out some time to do a column.
I do, and I also...
Do you have another role?
I do. I do, actually. I direct our apprentice partnership with the U of A and our internship program.
Oh, very good. All right, Sheriff, let's get right into it about the federal Operation Stone Garden funds. We had Chairman Elias on the program yesterday, and then last week, the day you had done the Fox interview at noon, we had Sharon Bronson scheduled that day. So both supervisors say there is no public safety crisis as a result of our not taking federal Operation Stone Garden funds. Do you disagree?
Well, I have to disagree because our proximity to the international border, we know that there's an opiate crisis, and it's a public health emergency. Some portion of those opiates are coming through the porous nature of our border. We know that there's drug and human trafficking, even sex trafficking coming across our border. So to deny that there's a public safety nexus to the proximity of Pima County to the border is simply false. Now, I don't fault them for feeling that way, and I have a great relationship with Supervisor Bronson, Supervisor Elias Valadez, and the whole crew there. It's not about being angry at anybody. It's just that I'm a practitioner. I'm an academic. I've been doing this for a very, very long time. I get intelligence briefings through the Alliance to Combat Transnational Threats. I'm part of the executive committee of the Joint Terrorism Task Force for the state. I'm on the executive committee for Arizona HIDA. So I'm privy to information that they're not privy to. And that's why people elect a sheriff, right? My job is public safety. That's not the job of the Board of Supervisors. And people will think that I exercise those duties correctly and will potentially reelect me in 2020, or they will say otherwise. But they elected me to maintain public safety, which I have a statutory and constitutional responsibility for. And much like when I go to the doctor, I leave doctor stuff to the doctor. In this case, I think leaving public safety to public safety professionals is appropriate. All agency heads in Pima County, to include Chief Magnus, submitted a letter to the Board of Supervisors saying that this was a fundamentally important public safety grant. So there you have several hundred years of law enforcement experience that I really think transcends politics.
All right, Sarah, I'm going to bring you in with a question, even though I did have kind of a follow-up.
But
I'm going to bring you in because I want to get to all the calls.
Oh, yes.
And actually a question coming in through my email. So lots of participation I expect here in the next few minutes, but go ahead.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. So could you explain a bit about what the grant covered and if because I have to say, as a resident of Pima County, it is somewhat alarming to hear that if without this grant, there are areas of the county that might not be patrolled as much, that without the supplement from the federal government, that we don't have adequate coverage with our own sheriff's deputies. Could you talk about that?
Sure, and thank you for the question. The grant allowed me about $1 million in overtime to deploy resources into areas that are traditionally underserved. Our county is very large. It's 9,200 square miles. I have roughly 500 sworn officers. So it's very hard for me to deploy the resources I have into those more remote areas of our county. Those areas are also havens for transnational crime because they are remote parts of our county. So that $1 million went directly to deploying resources that otherwise would be strained to do. Another portion of that money went toward equipment. And it's equipment that otherwise would have to be borne on the backs of the taxpayers. I'd much rather spend federal money to purchase equipment. Over the last about 12 years, we spent about $10 million on overtime. Now, keep in mind that $10 million of overtime are deploying our human resources, $10 million of overtime to deploy our human resources into areas that the county that are not well served. But another $6 million of that, $16 million total over the last 12 years, went toward equipment. Now, that equipment is used on Operation Stone Garden deployments, but also used to the benefit of Pima County all the time. And the federal government is almost begging me to take this money, and I have to say no for political reasons, which I think is a mistake.
Let's go to the live line, and our number is 790-2040. Obviously, there is a lot of interest in this. Ryan, you are first with Sheriff Napier. Go ahead, please.
Hi, hello, and thanks for taking my call. And good morning to you, or good afternoon to you, Sheriff Napier.
Thank you.
I do recall upon your election that you had said to the Daily Wildcat at the time, I'm very involved on campus, that you had mentioned the importance of social justice. And I really appreciated those words back then. But my question really then becomes, with a program like Operation Stone Garden, where in this past fiscal year we've been arguing over $1.4 million and a total budget of $165 million, we're talking about less than 1% of the budget. And that said, when we have the type of policing that is required under the terms of the grant, where we have 16% of all Stone Garden stoppages ending in citation, that seems to me like a profiling issue. That's almost like stop and frisk in New York. So my question is really, if this is a public safety emergency, and we're talking about less than 1% of the overall yearly budget, can you want to speak to some of those issues? Because that doesn't compute to me.
Well, you put a lot of issues on my plate there. First of all, I'm committed. I've made clear my commitment to social justice issues. I'm an odd Republican in that I have a very progressive education, so I do understand those issues. I think this 16% is a figure that's bantered about a lot on citations, and it makes for a good talking point. But in reality, it's not a valid assessment of whether or not racial profiling is occurring. I think DPS cites about 3%. If I'm out looking for a transnational crime threat, I'm looking for a drug trafficker, and somebody rolls through a stop sign, I have a valid reason to stop that person. I may not issue a citation because that's not what I'm there for. When I was in the DUI squad, I might stop somebody. As we all know, you have to come to a complete stop before making a right turn on red. But if you go through town, you see people don't do that all the time. I would not write a citation for that person because I wasn't looking for a traffic violation. I was looking for an impaired driver. So I don't want to put my deputies in the position that they have to issue a citation to every single person to prove they're not racially profiling. That's just a silly assertion. Citations are onerous to some people, especially in the socioeconomically disadvantaged community, where a $150 citation may mean the difference between buying groceries. This is a fundamentally important public safety grant affirmed by all the agency heads in our valley. It does not entangle us in immigration issues. It does ensure that we cooperate with our federal partners. Regarding the budget, I will have to find a way to fund this, but that's funding it on taxpayer dollars, which I would much rather use federal dollars for, and would not change in any fundamental way that we implement Stone Garden.
And you are putting in for Stone Garden for the next fiscal year?
We have our grant request ready. It will be well over $1 million. A good portion of that money will be equipment for a infrared looking system for our aircraft that we're going to have to replace. Maintenance fees and fuel for our aircraft that otherwise would be borne on taxpayer dollars. I'd much rather be spending federal dollars.
Matthew is up next, 790-2040. And we do have a very full board, Sarah. There's a lot of interest, obviously, in this. And we're going to try to get as many people as we can their voices here on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Matthew.
Yeah, Sheriff, originally when I had talked to you on the Buckmaster Show, I urged you to try and find some sort of common ground with the board, and I think you have tried. I'll say this, that I believe their arguments are specious, and I believe that you need to continue to bring up the need for Stone Garden funds, but I also urge you not to add any hyperbole to the subject. Just
okay.
Keep it straightforward. Now, I'm going to say this because it's very hard for me to say this, and Sharon Bronson and the board to rule the way they did. This program is a federally mandated program, yes, but it is backed up by Arizona statute. The Constitution for the state of Arizona specifically requires that your role that you basically when it comes to statute funded issues, you are responsible to implement them. ARS and the Arizona Department of Homeland Security has you as a tier one sheriff.
Mm-hmm. You've done your homework.
Yes, and so okay. I would encourage you to basically, this is one of those times where you ought to look at basically saying to the board, look, this is a mandated state function. I'm a tier one sheriff. I'm taking the money and find a way to work with the Department of Public Safety.
Thank you, Matthew.
Arizona FEMA, the Department of Homeland Security, Arizona FEMA.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments, and you're right. I have worked with the board. I've worked with the ACLU. They set five conditions on approval of the grant. I dutifully met all five conditions. I understand there are room for improvement. I welcome that. I do. If we can improve, we'll improve. They were going to set another five conditions on the grant. I was willing to meet those five conditions, and then they rejected the money. I think you come very close to a very important point here, Matthew, and that is that I, as the sheriff of this county, have a statutory and constitutional authority to maintain public safety in our county. If I come to the board and say this is fundamentally important to public safety, I don't expect that to be interfered with for political reasons.
Okay. I've got a couple more callers on hold, but we do need to take the break. Let me see if I can get this very quick answer perhaps for Deborah, who emailed me. She's curious about the internal temperature, the maximum temperature in a sheriff's patrol car that officers are subjected to while on duty. Do you have any idea? Is there a rule that you have to keep the car at a certain temperature?
No. It can be very hot in the car, and wearing body armor does not help. And then the deputies are in and out of the car frequently. So, no, there's no mandated temperature.
Okay. As far as Steve and Brenna on the line, please bear with us. I know you're going to hang on. I hope you'll hang on through the break. But I do want to tell everybody, Sarah and Sheriff, about one of our fine sponsors. And this always makes me hungry when I talk about it.
It's going to be Mona's, isn't it?
It is going to be Mona's. Thank you, Sheriff. I don't know if you have had one of the Danish Kringles, but you definitely need to go up there and do it. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. I believe that is in the county.
It is.
There you go. Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery in town, and the Danish Kringle. Oh, my goodness. All those European baked goods that they do. And right now they're open for lunch. Go buy the sandwich that the bread will be served on. Came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. And it's not just one variety of bread, Sheriff. There's
no. And the smell. When you walk through the door, the smell is amazing.
Oh, my goodness. The smell is fabulous. Go to buckmastershow.com, and that is the starting place for a link to all of our great sponsors, not only Mona's, but all of the great people who make this program possible. Do you like baker goods, Sarah?
Yes, I do.
I thought you did.
Thank you.
Because is there something about coming from the Midwest that we enjoy kind of? Is it comfort food?
There's something wholesome about the smell of baking bread.
I don't know. It's like we always did it when I was a kid. Mom would always take us to all the bakeries before we went down to the beach in the summer along Lake Michigan. We'd always stock up on bakery goods to have with us for our snack at lunch. So, yeah.
That sounds like a grand plan.
Anyway.
We're getting hungry.
We are. 12:20. We're going to get Steve and we're going to get Brenda, I promise, after the break. But let's take the break. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and anytime in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday during the noon hour for the Monday Political Face-Off with commentators Bruce Ash and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Also, Democratic gubernatorial hopeful Dr. David Garcia. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. A lot of interest, to say the least, in Sheriff Mark Napier and the whole Operation Stone Garden situation. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. I'm sorry, Sarah, that you've only been able to ask one question.
That's okay. I look forward to hearing what the community wants to know.
There you go. And so on that note, Steve, you are up to the plate. Who are we going to take first? Brenna? Okay, Brenna, you are first. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. My question is in regards to some of the data that Sheriff Napier has presented. So it's my understanding that the Operation Stone Garden money is about 1% of the overall budget. that the Operation Stone Garden funding grant explicitly prohibits federal funds from supplanting local activity. Now, this listed the public health concerns related to drug trafficking. Analysis of the Operation Stone Garden data actually showed Operation Stone Garden funding used by PCSD was unable to assist in identifying any drug trafficking or any migrant smuggling operations. The data analyzed and presented at the Board of Supervisors meeting did show that the department used its funding to assist CBP at checkpoints, where, in fact, most people who are stopped and arrested are citizens with small amounts of drugs. They also use their money to conduct zero-tolerance traffic stops, which is kind of similar to what I would call a car-based stop and frisk. So what I'm wondering is why the sheriff continues to imply that rejecting a small portion of funding that was explicitly prohibited from supplanting local services, if he continue to imply that some of this will force him to withdraw services. This would imply that he had been inappropriately using those federal funds in the first place.
Okay, thank you, Brenna.
Well, Brenna, you've got all the talking points down very well, but unfortunately many of them are incorrect. You're right about some planning, but that would juxtapose the idea that if my deputies are out there on Operation Stone Garden, that they don't have any other deterrent effect or law enforcement presence effect in the community. The fact that the data does not show that we dismantled major drug trafficking organizations or human trafficking organizations is also false. I'm privy to information that's law enforcement sensitive. I'm a member of the Alliance to Combat Transnational Threats, and I'm also on the executive committee of the Joint Terrorism Task Force in our state. So I have information that is otherwise not available to people. A lot of what we do out there is denial of access operations, where our federal partners will know because of intelligence information that potentially a human trafficking or drug trafficking operation is going to come through a certain corridor. We can place our deputies out there on a high visibility operation to deter them coming through an area that is potentially vulnerable because of its remoteness to that. And we know they have scouts on mountains. They're watching what we do. So we can redirect that traffic into areas where it is easier to interdict through the ports of entry or other places. So the fact that they're not out there arresting hundreds of people is not evidence that nothing good is happening. The 1% of my budget is factual, but when the federal government is asking Pima County to take money to do this auxiliary activity, why would we not? And nothing about that, and I mean zero, and we actually, as you probably know, have a rule that says our deputies will not be at check stations unless there is a presenting Pima County public safety reason for it to be there, because I answered the community concern on that. So I know these are great talking points. I get it. I'm just privy to information that others are not.
All right, Steve, you've been waiting very patiently, and I believe he's been on hold. Tom, don't you have a kind of a running time, how long people are on hold? Yeah, it's right there. He's been on hold for about 10 minutes. 14 minutes, excuse me. Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Thank you, Bill. Okay. It's been worth it now. I heard the commercials, and I'm hungry, too.
Well, good. Thank you. Hope you stop by Mona's. Go ahead.
Hi, Sheriff Napier. Hi. Thanks for taking the time to engage with the community like this. It's much appreciated.
I love my community.
Yeah. Now, Sheriff, I've noticed that you seem to travel quite a bit on behalf of Pima County. I know you attend law enforcement conventions and meetings. You mentioned one just a moment ago. And I know you were at the White House a few weeks ago. And I've heard you say how important you feel it is that you have those opportunities to represent Pima County's interests at those meetings and in those places. And yet, as far as I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, you have never released publicly any transcripts of the meetings or of your contributions to them. So, therefore, we, your constituents, have no way of knowing what you're saying when you claim to be representing us. And I know I, for one, would like to know. So will you commit to releasing past and future transcripts of meetings where you speak on behalf of Pima County?
Okay.
Well, I don't think they're transcribed, Steve. When I meet with the Director of Homeland Security, Secretary Nielsen, those meetings are not transcribed. They're frank one-on-one conversations. I will tell you that I have asked, and the Secretary Nielsen has requested that I submit to her a one-paragraph brief on what I think the talking points regarding border security should be. And I've been very clear about that. I've spoken about it passionately many times. We need to secure the border because it's a public safety problem. Nobody can doubt that. With drug and human trafficking, the opioid crisis and methamphetamine on the rise, it is a public safety problem that we have a porous border. It is a national security concern. In the age of international terrorism, we cannot not know who's coming through our border. It's not safe. But moreover, and I speak very passionately about this issue, it is a human rights issue. Too many people are being victimized. Too many people are dying in the deserts because of environmental exposure or criminality. So those are the three reasons we need to secure the border. And I've been very direct with Secretary Nielsen that I think the continued attack on illegal immigration is the sole reason to secure our southern border is completely and totally misplaced.
And a follow-up from Deborah. She's again emailed me. I think maybe at the Deborah didn't say so. She wants to go into more about the air conditioning. I think this has to do with your officers not carrying the
Narcan,
the antidote for
or the opiate overdoses.
And could you explain to the listeners very quickly why this is not?
It's real simple. Narcan is not heat stable, and the manner that I deploy my people, I cannot keep it in a cool environment where we would be sure that it would function. If they come up with a heat-stable version, I'm all in. The other problem is that a majority of the time, medical personnel will get there before my deputies, and if we're going to administer a drug, I would rather that the medical professionals do it. But if they can come up with a heat-stable version that I can deploy in the manner that I deploy my people, I'm all in, Deborah, and you know that. I don't want anybody to suffer a death at an overdose. And besides the fact that my deputies could have casual contact and be subject to an overdose, so there's a presenting safety issue there as well.
All right. We're going to keep it another 4 or 5 minutes because there is so much interest. And Jim Nintzel, I know you're on the line from the Weekly, but just hang with us, Jim, because there's so much interest here on this Operation Stone Garden with Sheriff Napier. So Jessica is with us next. Go ahead, Jessica.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I have a quick question for Sheriff Napier, and maybe he can further explain this. But we have seen that he's been traveling lately to D.C. more often than more often than usual and compared to any other sheriff that we have had in Pima County. So I was wondering, what kind of meetings he's holding up in D.C.? Where are the transcripts of those conversations and how can we make them public so we know how he's representing Pima County? And along with that, we want to know the conversation that he is having with the ICE director, because he also has eyes in the jail, which proves that he's collaborating directly, not only with Border Patrol, but with ICE. All of this is concerning with Stone Garden, right? Is federal money being used to enforce immigration law?
Okay, thank you, Jessica. And there are parts of your question that are very similar to, I believe it was Steve's concerns.
That'll teach me to put it on social media. But Jessica, you know I don't have any animus toward the opposition community out there. I am going to continue, and as long as I'm your sheriff, make no mistake, I will be cooperating with our federal partners. I can't decide which laws I like and which laws I don't like and which laws are enforceable and which laws are not. So I'm going to continue to collaborate with our federal partners, but I believe that we can do that while staying in our respective lanes. My lane is public safety in Pima County. Necessarily, at some points, that lane intersects with immigration issues, but it doesn't mean that I adopt others' responsibility. Federal immigration enforcement is a federal responsibility. But I think the people of Pima County, and they can speak here again in a couple of years, expect me to cooperate with federal law enforcement authorities, and I'm going to continue to do so. I know that's disquieting to some parts of our community, but I think I can do that in a responsible way that keeps me within my lane of authority.
Okay, wrapping it up, Sarah, did you have something else to add?
A really quick question about the number or percentage of people in Pima County Jail that are there, that you know the immigration status of, that are in the country illegally or are being held for other reasons. Because so many people I hear again and again saying, oh, the jail's filled with illegal immigrants.
Absolutely not. Sarah, that's a great question. I get in trouble on the ride all the time. It's about less than 4% of the jail population is comprised of people that have ICE detainers on them, meaning that they're in this country without proper documentation. Also, categorically false, despite what the right says, is the assertion that undocumented people commit more crime than documented people. That is categorically false. It's not true. It's a great talking point, but it's untrue. And I get in trouble with the right on this all the time, but I'm a practitioner and I'm an academic on criminal justice issues. So that's just simply false. It's false, the idea that we have our jail full of undocumented persons. It's simply false. It's less than 4% of that population at any given time, and it remains very consistent.
All right. To summarize kind of what we've heard here, the sheriff is Stone Garden. The grant for the current year only has a couple of months to go on it.
Correct.
But you have begun the paperwork for a 12-month period for the next.
We will be submitting a grant request in the next cycle. I believe it's my responsibility to do so.
We'll see where that goes. So I think that kind of brings us up to date, right?
We will be launching our version of Stone Garden. I'm going to have to self-fund that because I still have a responsibility. I can't say these things are fundamentally important to public safety and walk away from them because I don't have federal funding. So unfortunately, the opposition has only succeeded in making me spend tax dollars of Pima County residents where I should be spending federal dollars, but doing exactly the same thing.
Okay, Sheriff, thank you very much for spending some time with us. And Sarah, stick around. We're going to bring in Jim Nitzel here after we take our break.
Great.
All right. Let's take the break. It's Buckmaster on a Friday afternoon. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Friday afternoon. Jim Nitzel, the Tucson Weekly. Jim is the not just of the Tucson Weekly, he's the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, has been very patient on the phone as he's going to join us for our roundtable portion of our Friday hour. And Sarah Garrett Gasson is here from the Arizona Daily Star, where she is the editorial page editor and columnist. Jim, sorry to keep you waiting a little bit on the line, but tremendous interest in the sheriff and this whole Operation Stone Garden thing.
No worries at all. I think it was great for the sheriff to be able to answer those questions.
There you go. Jim, is Leah Marquez Peterson in any kind of poll? Do the polls indicate she may be in a little trouble here in the CD2 race?
No, we haven't really seen any polls yet, but we are seeing forecasts put out by our national political prognosticators like the Gang at 538, Real Clear Politics, and Nathan Gonzalez over with the Hill newspaper. These guys generally have some idea of the way the wind is blowing in many of these races, and I think what they're looking at is the generic ballot showing that Democrats have somewhere in the neighborhood of a 10-point lead when you average out all the different polls people are taking, and it doesn't look very good for Republicans now. Polling is an inexact science. People's minds change. All politics is local, they say, although I think national mood plays a big role in many of these races. So I certainly would not count Leah Marquez Peterson out, but I would give the advantage to Ann Kirkpatrick at this point, only because when you look at what's happening around the country at all these special elections you've had really significant shifts in the direction of Democrats, and this is going to be, I think, one of the most competitive races in the country, but we'll see exactly what happens on election day.
And Sarah, I think all of these races, not just CD2, they're all competitive. Some of the polling that has been done in the governor's race shows it pretty much in kind of the margin of error. You're also seeing that in the U.S. Senate race. So there's a lot of time left before the election. Relatively a lot of time, although early ballots do go out in a couple of weeks. I think what I'm trying to say is every vote, it may sound trivial, but every vote does count.
Yes, it absolutely does. And for campaigns wanting to lock in those early ballots, the ballots go out, I think, October 10th. Mm-hmm. You can start voting, and campaigns want you to vote early and mail it in and not change your mind.
You almost said vote early and vote often.
I did.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You were thinking.
But yeah, I think the idea that campaigns are long in one way because they seem interminable, but they're also short when people tend to start paying attention right about now in the process. And the things can change a lot. We've just looking back over races in previous years, the way the plains look in mid-September where we are now, very different come November when the votes are counted. So we have a ways to go.
Jim, go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say, in internal polling, will determine whether or not a lot of these national folks come in and spend money. So that's another sign of whether a race is competitive or not.
Jim, you took a stand. It's on the cover story, you and your editorial team at the Tucson Weekly, concerning the Pima County Proposition 463. That was the road initiative that will be on the ballot. And you said that the business community supports this, the tourism sector supports this, the firefighters support this, the libs here at the Tucson Weekly support this, and you concluded by saying the people who are against this are the same people who spend their time tearing down this place that we call home. You say you can ride with them or you can ride with us. Do you think this is going to pass?
You know, I I'm not privy to any polling. We have seen transportation measures pass in the city of Tucson recently, but then again, the road bonds on the last one also did well within the city of Tucson. It's the outlying areas that I think will be key to this one, the Green Valley area, the folks out in Ajo, the folks up here on the northwest side where our offices are located. I think that's going to play a big role in determining the outcome of this. Now, the last time we had road bonds on the ballot, it was part of a much bigger package of different things, and the road bonds came the closest. I think they failed by a couple of points, and it could have been that the other stuff dragged it down. This is certainly a plan that is not going to raise your tax rates because they're already retiring debt. That doesn't mean your taxes won't necessarily go up, but it doesn't mean they won't go down either. It depends on your values and where they end up setting rates over the next couple of years to pay off these debts. But, I'm hearing arguments that, this doesn't fix everything, so it's not worth doing. And I think that's like one of the craziest arguments I've ever heard in my life. The notion that unless you come up with $1 billion to fix everything and all the money to maintain it, it's not worth fixing anything. It certainly wouldn't be something you would do in your own house. If you had a leaky roof, you wouldn't say, well, it's not worth fixing the roof if I can't go ahead and fix the floors at the same time. So, it's one step at a time in getting these roads fixed in our community, and I think it is important. And I think Pima County voters would be foolish to not go ahead and say, hey, let's make a down payment on moving mm-hmm. forward with these repairs.
Yeah, it's hard to argue against road repair, just as someone who drives in the area.
All right. Chuck has been waiting on hold. And Chuck, I don't know if we can answer your question, but you'd like to throw something out to the community. And if you would make it real quick, please.
Yes, I will. Just for everybody else out there, that I got my property tax bill yesterday in the mail. I guess I was one of the three ones that got it as soon as I did. But one of the shockers in that, and people are going to see it, TUSD desegregation. It's costing me $165.
Wow.
Versus zero last year.
Okay.
So, we were under the impression that this was not going to happen.
Okay, let's see if our esteemed guests know anything about this. Sarah, did you want to say something?
Oh, well, I wanted to say this is part of the shift, the effort to shift costs for the desegregation programs within TUSD, because it's still under that court order.
And there'll be legal action against this,
yes,
I believe.
Yes. But it has always been taxpayer money, but from the entire state,
right?
Not just within the boundaries of TUSD, and that's what the change is.
Yeah, Jim, did you want to add anything?
Yeah, that as you guys have said, there is legal action taking place to determine whether or not this was a legal move by the Arizona legislature to move that particular item from a tax that state taxpayers paid from the general fund to only taxpayers within the TUSD district. But this was one of the they balanced the budget over there by playing some tricky games, and in this particular case this was one aimed at TUSD taxpayers.
Yeah, so I guess the taxpayer pretty much has to pay it, and then if the legal action may have, I don't know if they'd get a rebate or what, how that would work.
Yeah, who knows how that would work. But this is an effort by the county to say, this is more money on your tax bill, but it's not coming from where it's not us. We're not the ones billing you.
Sarah, you were hosting there are four candidates for the governing board and two seats that are up at the Pima Community College District. This has not gotten hardly any publicity, kind of under the radar screen. Rather than you going and telling all of our listeners about who the candidates are, but could you just, what are the issues basically?
Thanks, Bill. It was, you can find the forum, the video for it, if you go to the Pima Community College website, if you want to educate yourself on the candidates. The declining enrollment is a big part of it. Lack of state funding assistance, so budget cuts. They've had to let go of some people and not fill other positions. And community awareness of what Pima has to offer. Some of the candidates talked about the need to make sure that Pima is offering job training, education, and those sort of things in areas where you can actually go get a decent paying job, not areas that are kind of outdated or maybe right. not in, in relevant
the
fields.
The whole future role of the college.
Right, the
relevant
fields, but yeah. not in an up-to-date way.
Okay. Carl, go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I just wanted to throw in, I think one of the more fascinating things about the Pima College race this time out is you have a Luis Gonzalez on the ballot, but he's not the same Luis Gonzalez who's actually serving in the office now. There's been a little switcheroo going on there in terms of Luises, and I think a lot
right.
of voters are not going to be aware of this particular change.
All right. Carl has waited patiently. Carl wants to talk quickly about the roads. Only about a few seconds left, Carl. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm in District 1, and as I understand, District 1 contributes about 35% of the tax base, the taxing of the money going into the county. And our roads are in horrible shape, and the Road Commission had come up with an equitable way of spreading out the repairs, and the supervisors ignored that and did their own thing, and District 1 kind of got shafted on that. So I don't have any kind of sense of responsibility that this bond money is going to go to repair roads in my district where I feel that they need to be done. So I'm going to be quite frank about it. I'm going to vote against the bonds, and I'm not alone in this.
Okay. Thank you, Carl. Jim,
District 1's gotten a ton of money over the last 20 years compared to the other districts throughout the county.
All right. A lot of participation in the show today. That's
great.
Great to have that. Jim, I'm going to have to wrap it up here with you very quickly, and I do appreciate your input today on the program. And again, the weekly, very content-rich, certainly this week. You get into the whole roads thing, and you talk about CD2 and a lot of other things. Jim, thanks a lot.
Appreciate it, Bill.
Thanks a lot. And Sarah, what's coming up in the paper on Sunday?
Well, we have our local conservative columnist, one of our three, Diego Rivera, and he's weighing in on the conversation, I guess you could say, between Nick Pearson and Raul Grijalva about Pearson's comment that Grijalva is not a good example of a Mexican-American, or an American. I hope people will come tucson.com/opinion and pick it up at the newsstands.
There you go. Sarah, have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right. We didn't get a chance to talk about the name, new nickname of the indoor football team, which is the
Sugar Skulls.
Sugar Skulls. I like the logo. It's really cool. It's a cool logo. So we'll see. Anyway, it should be fun. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back after the break with Weekend Watch and Matt Russell.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Who's ready for a road trip? I am. Just a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So many things to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the very greened-up Gila National Wilderness after the summer rains. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the full list of the many great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist and award-winning Tucson publicist, a guy that is just a dedicated foodie in just about every respect. How are you, Matt Russell?
I'm doing great. With the temperatures dropping, it's starting to feel a little bit like fall, Bill.
Yeah, it is indeed. You know, one of my favorite places downtown is Cafe A La Carte. Anything going on down there?
Yeah, you bet. You know, as I said, the fall season is upon us. And when people start sipping the kinds of spirits that bring a little bit more smoke, a little bit more peat to the palate, you know fall is here. And at 6 p.m. tonight at the Cafe A La Carte downtown, they're going to be hosting a four-course Scotch whiskey dinner.
Ooh.
With each plate paired up with a different scotch. So the dishes include green apple mac and cheese with a bacon and focaccia, a grilled rack of lamb with a black currant reduction, pan-seared sea scallops with an orange butter sauce, and finally an almond spice cake with a brown sugar mousse. Again, each presented with a different scotch. You can call the cafe now to reserve your seat for tonight's epic dinner, 628-8533.
Wow, what an attractive menu. Anything going on at the parish?
Yeah, I love the historic role that the Sazerac plays in the cocktail conversation. Of course, the iconic libation that was invented generations ago at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans. But did you know that it wasn't until 1949 when the hotel bar started serving women? That's right.
What?
This was because of a large group of ladies that boldly stormed the men-only bar and demanded Sazerac service. Well, it worked, and it's in their honor that the parish on Oracle and Orange Grove is hosting a Stormin' the Sazerac party all weekend long. Ladies are going to get deep discounts on drinks, $6 Sazeracs for everybody, and live music featuring a lineup of women musicians. You can storm the Sazerac all weekend at the parish.
Here is hats off to the ladies, I'll tell you.
That's right.
At Prep and Pastry, anything going on that we should know about?
Tomorrow night, Bill, it's the annual benefit dinner for the Bald Beauties Project, a local nonprofit that was conceived just a few years ago by Tucson teen Kelsey Luria, just weeks before she lost her battle with cancer. Now, the venue is Prep and Pastry on Grant Road, and the evening will begin at 6 o'clock with bubbles and bellinis to get things going, followed by three courses of what looks like spectacular cuisine. Tickets are $125 a piece, and you'll be helping this group to positively impact the lives of children and young adults with cancer right here in Tucson. Information and tickets are at baldbeautiesproject.org.
Very good information. Thank you, Matt. Great lineup. Have a great weekend.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. I have very little time, but there's always time to thank you, Tom. Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer on Friday, doing such a great job. And basically everybody here at the home station, KVOI, including Ray Allen, Jerry Cross, the ladies up front, the whole team. Thank you for all of your support. Have a great weekend.